Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Love and Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Falada, and it is so great to be together again and chat all things love, sex, dating, marriage, and singleness. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a licensed professional counselor and author specializing in relationship issues, and I am here to take all your relationship questions. I've written hundreds of relationship articles across the internet, and my relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaches millions of people with the message of healthy relationships. And that's really what I'm passionate about. Have you ever found yourself in a one-sided relationship where you seem to be doing all the work and getting little to nothing in return? How can you recognize a one-sided relationship? Why is it that some people tend to attract one-sided relationships more than others? When do you decide it's time to move on from a relationship like this? And when should you keep at it? We're going to talk about all that today and so much more. But first, let me introduce you to our guest. Today, I am excited that we have Lauren from Seattle, Washington, joining us on the show. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
How are you?
Almost awake. How are you doing?
Good. Is it rainy in Seattle?
I think it's going to be nice today, but who knows?
Awesome. It's rainy here, so we kind of swapped for today.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I'm excited to have you, though, and let's go ahead and dig into your question. What do you have going on?
Cool. I'm finding that in most of my relationships, I'm doing almost all of the work. And this is even true for relationships that started out where the other person initiated and was pursuing and doing all everything.
Yeah.
Somehow I find myself like, oh, I'm the only one trying. So I want to know why this happens and how I can avoid it in the future.
Yeah, that's a really good question and something that a lot of people struggle with. So let's back up a little. Why don't you talk me through like a recent relationship and how this kind of played out?
A general picture is Seattle is kind of known for having really unfriendly people.
Yeah.
Whenever I meet people and I feel like we hit it off, I'm reluctant to initiate because I find that when I say, oh, hey, let's hang out or, oh, let's go do something, that it'll go fine. But then I have to keep initiating constantly. And it's kind of exhausting to be like, oh, this is only going to work out if I always make an effort, but the other person doesn't have to.
Yeah, it's extremely exhausting to be in a one-way relationship all the time. So do you feel like this has happened like again and again and again?
Probably since high school. So it's been a while.
So even before Seattle?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good to know because, you know, for a second it could be like, well, this is a Seattle thing. Everyone's just mean. But
yeah, people tell me that, but I'm like, no, I think this is different.
Yeah, there could be more to this. So do you find that the pattern is almost always you initiating or it's sometimes the other way around?
Yeah, it depends. In Seattle, I found that it's me always having to initiate. In the past, it's been someone will like always talk to me or like always include me in conversation or always want to hang out. And that's both romantic relationships and friendships that they'll pursue. And as soon as I start reciprocating, it's like any effort that they were making flatlines. I'm the one who is putting in all the effort.
Yeah, that can get old really fast. How long does it take you to get to that point where you're aware, okay, this is one away. Like, are we talking like a year goes by, a couple months go by? And then once you recognize it's one way, what happens next?
It's different for different relationships. For romantic relationships, it's like a couple months. And okay. Then I kind of shut down. Like, I don't even want to look you in the face. Like, I'm so irritated with you right now.
Yeah.
And for friendships, it takes way longer.
Okay. So, but is the reaction similar?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's good to know, because I think that what's not uncommon is one-way relationships. And I think they're everywhere and they happen to everyone at some point. Like, there's going to be a time in your life, if you're a human being, that you're in a relationship that's not being reciprocated. And I honestly went through that myself with friendships when I first moved to a new area, of just trying to pour into people, trying to reach out, get together, initiate, you know, interactions, and then not getting much back. And so here's what it comes down to, though. You need two-way relationships, obviously. And I think the healthier mm-hmm. you are, the faster you can recognize and the quicker you can recognize when something is not two-way. And you know, you're constantly giving and giving and giving and this person isn't giving anything back. And I think a lot of times you can recognize that pretty quickly in a relationship. You can kind of see the trajectory of where this is going, even in just the first few weeks, based on the amount of interactions you're having and how deliberate the other person is being about putting in effort. But I think what sets people apart is what happens next, because everyone's going to go through that one-way relationship thing, but some people hang on to one-way relationships for far too long. Do you feel like you've ever hung on to a relationship for too long? And if so, you know, what was the reasoning behind that? What were you telling yourself? What were the hopes?
I've definitely done that. And the most painful one, it was several years that I was like friends with someone that I really loved and cared about.
Yeah.
But I just kept remembering the beginning of the friendship and how like great it had been and how mutual and how fantastic, and just continually telling myself, this is just a phase, or well, that happened, so like maybe this is the fluke, not the first part, so we just have to get back to that.
Yeah, and just holding on and making excuses and hoping it will get better. And I really appreciate that you brought that up, because it applies to friendship just the same as romantic relationships. There's so many people out there that have been in romantic relationships for months or years that are making those excuses of, you know, maybe this person just needs a little motivation. Maybe they're in a slump. Maybe they're busy. I hear that all the time. Like, oh,
totally.
He's probably just too busy. I understand. Life is so busy these days. So busy that you can't even like take 1 second to text me back. You know, like life doesn't get that busy when it comes to someone wanting to be deliberate about relationships. I think what ends up happening that's the most dangerous isn't that there's one-way relationships that exist. It's that we tend to make excuses for them, and we drag it on longer than we should. And I always tell people, you attract the types of relationships that you believe you deserve. So it's like if someone is struggling with the value they place on themselves, they're going to let themselves be in a one-way relationship for way too long because they're making excuses, instead of someone who values themselves and feels healthy and knows what they're worth. When that stuff starts happening, it's like, I don't have time for this. You know, like if this is how it's going to play out, I don't have time for this, especially in the context of romantic relationships. And I see it happen time and time again where I talk to men and women who are just constantly making excuses for that person. And I think making excuses for someone is the number one way to attract and keep a jerk in your life, because you're doing the work for them. You're not only doing your work, but then you're making excuses and doing the work for them. But I will add this, because I don't want to be misunderstood here. I think God calls us to relationships sometimes where we're giving and not receiving. But I call that ministry relationships. I don't think that should be friendships. I think there's three types of relationships. There's relationships we have with a mentor where we're pouring our hearts out and we're like sharing what we need and our mentor is pouring into us. That's sort of a one-way relationship if you think about it, because most mentor relationships, you're there to get help. You're there to get prayers. You're there to get guidance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other type of relationship, which is a peer type relationship. That is the relationship where you're pouring into somebody and they're pouring back into you. Those are the relationships we're talking about here. And then the third type of relationship is that discipleship relationship where you're the mentor and you're pouring into someone. God always calls us into those type of relationships for a specific purpose and a specific ministry. I have someone in my life that I'm mentoring. I've had people that have come my way that they're not pouring much into me, but I feel called to pour into them, and I'm pouring into them out of my overflow. You know, it's what God has called me to do, but I'm not looking for them to pour back because I don't have that type of relationship with them. And so I'm not saying that every single person who has a one-way relationship, you should just cut them off, because sometimes God calls us to pour into people when they're down, when they're struggling, when they're in need of hope or in need of help. And I think that's totally great. But what we're talking about here are those reciprocal relationships, those peer relationships that need to be two-way. You need to be giving and taking, giving and taking, giving and taking, whether it's friendship, whether it's romantic. And then going back to what we talked about with excuses. Have you found yourself making those type of excuses or like reasoning it away with romantic relationships?
Oh, definitely. And
what does that sound like?
It kind of the things you were talking about, like, oh, they're probably busy, or like, they don't owe me anything. I don't need to know where they are.
Yeah.
Or just like all sorts of stuff, which makes me want to ask, like, at what level, like, because I know there's grace involved in all relationships, but at what level do I need to say, like, oh, this is actually ridiculous and I'm making really stupid excuses?
Yeah, totally. You know, I think at the level that you start feeling that it's one way, you should start communicating that you feel it's one way and what you need. And I don't necessarily think that means texting someone and saying, I feel like this is a one-way relationship, peace out. Or your approach, like you mentioned earlier, shutting down, because that's not going to get you anywhere either, you know? You've got to learn to identify what you're actually struggling with in the relationship and then put it out there. So, hey, you know, I feel like I've been reaching out to you and initiating, like, let's say this is a romantic relationship. I feel like I've been reaching out, initiating a lot of get-togethers. I don't feel like you're responding with the same enthusiasm, and I totally understand if you're not at the same place as I am. I just wanted to clarify so that I make sure that we're on the same page with this. You know, just being open about what you expect and what you are looking for and where you think things are at. I think it's a really important thing to be able to communicate. And I don't know about you, but did you grow up in the Christian culture at all?
Oh, yes.
So I'm curious what you've learned about like the whole women initiating and, you know, that whole conversation.
I feel like I've learned contradictory things.
Yeah.
Because for romantic relationships, the popular idea is that, you know, if a man wants you, he'll pursue you.
Yeah, it's definitely the popular idea.
Yeah. And so when I was in college, it was like, okay, I'm going to hint around and be like, oh, I'm interested, but I'm never going to do anything about it and then wait to see what happens.
Which is usually nothing.
Yeah, like it never works out for me.
Yeah.
The other idea is that like the church almost supports one-sided relationships and that like you have to show grace and you have to like everyone's broken and you have to be open to that and like people can walk all over you because clearly that's what Jesus wants.
Yeah, which is clearly not what Jesus wants, you know?
No.
And I love that you bring that up because I think a lot of that misinterpretation gets stuck in our head. And we end up stuck in unhealthy relationships because we're using the guise of grace or forgiveness, when really we need to ask people to be responsible for their relationships and to make good choices in their relationships. And again, like I said, there is a difference between ministry relationships. We're not talking about that right now. We're not talking about the relationships where we're pouring in. We're talking about reciprocal, healthy, life-giving relationships, and they need to be a balance of give and take. I also think part of the reason we settle for relationships that aren't like that is because we're not healthy. We feel empty. We feel like you might have mentioned, like, you know, they don't owe me anything, or this is as good as it probably gets, or, you know, I'm lucky enough to have someone showing me some attention, or whatever it is, these excuses, these thoughts, these lies, these insecurities that tend to drive our unhealthy interactions and keep them going for far too long because we don't believe we deserve any better. And I think when God starts to redefine our identity and the truth of who we are and the truth that He wants to give us good, healthy things, then we start expecting more from our relationships. We start expecting more for ourselves, and not just in what we give, but in what we're receiving. I think that's a really important thing because healthy relationships are give and take. And if you find yourself in a dating relationship that's not like that, you are going to carry that into marriage. Going back to the should women initiate, I'm all for it. I think women need to take responsibility for their relationships. But what I'm not all for is when a woman is constantly initiating and then being okay with getting nothing in return. Initiating is the first step to starting a relationship, but what keeps a relationship going is that give and take, give and take. So once you start finding, okay, give, more give, a little more give, okay, mm-hmm. That's a warning sign, like you're not getting anything back here, and that's likely not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
The other thought I had for you as well, you know, when we're talking about partly the thought of getting healthy and becoming healthy and expecting better things for yourself, where do you think you're at with all that?
I know I'm getting better, but I still feel like I have a long way to go because I have thoughts every now and then of kind of what you were saying of like, well, maybe this is just how things are. Maybe this is all I'm going to get, or maybe I can't expect better. And trying to balance the reasonable expectations with like expectations for good things is really difficult.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a learning process. It's a growing process. It's about downloading the truths of who you actually are, not who the world has told you that you are. One thing that is really important to identify, Lauren, and something I talk about in my books is we develop our identity based on what people say about us. And there's a psychologist by the name of John Locke who says that we're basically born as blank slates. We come into the world completely blank and empty. And as people begin speaking words over our lives, whether those words are true or not, we start believing those words and we start living out of those words. So maybe a word that we've heard is you're not good enough, or you're not going to amount to anything, or you're just one of those people that's always going to be in the friend zone, or oh, you don't deserve better than this, or whatever it is, those lies that we hear, you know, from our relationships, mm-hmm. from our past, from our family, from ourselves, even our negative thinking. A lot of times we start living out of those voices and we start repeating those patterns in our relationships as well. And part of becoming a healthy person is learning to recognize those lies that are holding us back and keeping us from healthy relationships and learning to replace those lies with God's truth. And for me, after a breakup back in the day, a really devastating breakup, it took so much time, but God was healing me in the process of recovering from that breakup and helping me download His truths about who I am, who He says I am, who I am in Christ, who I really am, not who this relationship said I am, not who my past has said I am, not who others have said I am, not who I even think I am and the things I think about myself, but who does God say I am and how do I live out of that? How do my relationships reflect those truths about who I am? And God's word is filled with so much truth. And in the show notes for this episode, I'm going to link to some of those verses and some of those truths because I think it's a really important process in becoming healthy to learn to recognize those lies that we're believing and living out of and replacing them with truth, because we attract the type of relationships that we believe we deserve. And I think that's a really important thing to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And you deserve better than this, Lauren. You really do.
Yay.
I'm believing that for you.
So I hear what you're saying about, you know, reading the Bible and kind of applying and just believing what it says. One of the things I hear often is that I'm too demanding. So aside from like reading the Bible, how do I know, like, if someone says something like that, how do I know if it's true or not?
That is really interesting. And my first thought is that's a label, because when someone's speaking truth into our lives, it usually doesn't come in the form of negativity and shame. And especially when God is speaking truth into our lives. So even the phrase, you're too demanding, like demanding is not necessarily a word that causes you to become better. It's one of those words that basically takes you down a notch, makes you feel bad about yourself, makes you feel like you're asking for too much. And so one way that I differentiate, is this God's truth or is this a lie? Is this word that's being spoken over me calling me to a better place or calling me to a worse place? And if it's calling you to a better place, you cling to it and you incorporate it into your life and you make yourself a better person. You pursue becoming better. But if it's a word that someone's put on you or that you put on yourself that's taking you to a worse place, then most of the time it is not God's truth. So can you glean something from, you know, you're too demanding? First of all, what context has that come in? And I guess my thought to you is, what's your initial response to that word?
I'm known for having like a lot of I'm very intense. So I have a lot of emotions and I know that about myself, but in relationships I hear like, oh, you're too demanding because you expect too much of me. Like they can't handle my personality kind of deal.
Hmm. In what way?
That I always like, I want to talk about feelings too much, or I like want to work out conflict too often. And so I don't know, it's hard because those sound like reasonable things, but then it's also like, maybe they're right. Maybe I do like bring up conflict too often, or like maybe I talk about feelings too much, or like maybe I have too many feelings.
Hmm. I hear that. And my first thought is that those are not truths, because dealing with conflict, expressing yourself through communication, are very healthy things. Those are what make relationships work. Those are what make healthy relationships. And in my opinion, if you're in a relationship with someone who can't handle dealing with conflict or who can't handle having healthy communication, then the issue is probably them and not you in this type of situation. And here's the thing, you don't want to be in a relationship with someone who thinks that communicating and dealing with conflict on a regular basis is demanding. Like that is, mm-hmm. that is so not the type of relationship you want to be in. And I think that to me, that's like a red flag of like, okay, if someone actually thinks that about these healthy things that I'm trying to exhibit and do that are going to better my relationships, then I'm not the problem here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important too, in the process of becoming healthier, to quickly recognize when you are the problem and when you're not the problem. Mm-hmm. And to be able to glean from the conversation, but to realize that there are times when the problem is somebody else cannot handle communication, cannot handle emotions in a healthy way, cannot handle conflict. And so learning to recognize when it's about you and when it's not is a really important part of becoming a healthy person. But in this situation that you mentioned specifically, especially in light of what you've told me about your tendency for one-way relationships, to me, this seems like just another one of those one-way relationships where you're giving and trying and putting effort into it, and someone's not ready for that level of mm-hmm. commitment.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not disputing you. I'm just saying that, like, it's nice to hear.
Yeah, for sure. It is, because you can sit with those lies, and sometimes it's like hard when you don't have someone to process, like, am I really demanding, or am I just in a relationship with someone who is not able to work through, process, dig deep to the level that I need them to dig deep? And recognizing that quickly, knowing yourself, knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses, all of that stuff, having insight into who you are is part of the process of becoming healthy. And the healthier you are, the faster you're going to recognize when it's you and when it's not you. So yes. It sounds like you're already on that journey. The fact that you were even able to recognize enough to articulate these one-way relationships tells me that you're on the right track. And now it's just about taking those steps to, instead of not verbalize what you need, let them know what you need and what you're looking for. And if it doesn't change, then you let them go, you know, let them know, and then let them go if things are not changing, especially in the context of romantic relationships.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Lauren. I really appreciate you sharing your heart and your story. And I really think so many people can relate to this. And I just think your words are going to resonate with a lot of people in one-way relationships.
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, team single. Let's go.
Team single. and single but healthy. That's the key here, because healthy singles is exactly what turn into healthy marriages. And this is where you've got to start.
Okay. Well, good to know. And thank you for taking my question.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye. Today on the podcast, we talked with Lauren from Seattle. And one of the things Lauren was really struggling with was one-way relationships. And I know Lauren's not alone in this, because one of the number one Googled articles on my blog is how to deal with one-way relationships. So it's obviously something that a lot of people are struggling with and battling, especially with regard to romantic relationships and dating and even in marriage. And so we're going to talk through that a little bit today, because I think it's so important. And one thing that came out in Lauren's conversation today was how easy it is to make excuses for the other side. Not only are we doing our part in giving, but then we're making excuses for why the other person isn't giving back. And maybe you're out there today and you're thinking of a relationship that comes to mind. You've been in a dating relationship for a while, or maybe you have a friend that you're feeling this way about, or maybe you're even in a marriage and you feel like things are just one way. You're giving and giving and giving, and you feel like you're getting nothing in return. And for those of you who are in this boat, I think it's important to recognize that the healthier we are, the healthier our relationships are going to become. And the healthier also are the type of relationships we're going to attract while we're single. There was a social study that they did. And one of my favorite things about this study is that they took a bunch of people and put them in a room. And they dressed them in scuba suits. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but all you could see of these people were their faces. So they put these people in scuba suits and they put them in this big room and they just observed. They put cameras to watch what these people would do. And I thought it was so interesting, because as these sociologists observed these people, one thing they recognized pretty quickly is that people who had similar physical features tended to flock together. And you really couldn't tell your physical features outside of what your face looked like. So people who had similar features tended to clump together and group together. And that study just affirmed the power of similarity and the idea that we are drawn to people who are like us. If we're drawn to people who are like us physically, how much more are we drawn to people who are like us emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually? There is so much power going on, so much magnetic force going on beneath the surface. Human beings are like magnets, and we attract people who are on our same level of health, emotionally and spiritually. And so the healthier we are, the healthier our relationships become. So if you're in a place where you feel like you are just in one unhealthy relationship after another, one-sided relationship after another, I think it's important to take a step back and ask, where are you in your level of personal health? Where are you in what you believe about yourself? And when we talked with Lauren today, she was struggling with some of those beliefs about herself and some of the lies that she's been told that she's too demanding or that she asks too much in a relationship. And those lies get stuck in our head and we start living out of those lies. So maybe for her, someone says, oh, you're too demanding. So now what? Now she believes that and starts expecting less out of relationships, starts wanting less so she doesn't come across as demanding. When really, she might be believing something that's not even true and living out of those negative beliefs. And that's how a lot of us get in trouble with relationships and we start living out of those lies instead of living out of God's truth. And I talked to Lauren today about the importance of downloading God's truth and living out of those truths. And I'm going to link to some of those truths in the show notes today. But the other thing I wanted to share with you too, when you're assessing your level of health, there's a quick 5-minute checkup you can do. Get a journal or a piece of paper out. And I want you to start thinking through these 4 topics. Number 1, your thoughts. How healthy are your thoughts? Do you find that you're constantly criticizing yourself or constantly having negative thoughts? Or do you find that your thoughts are healthy and your thoughts are uplifting and positive and that you're giving yourself the benefit of the doubt? It's important for you to recognize how healthy your thought life is in determining where you are in your level of personal health. The other thing, 2, is your emotions. Journal a little bit about your emotions. And do you tend to have negative emotions more days than not? Are your negative emotions controlling you? Are you able to feel negative things and be okay with it? Or are you constantly trying to numb your feelings and make those negative emotions go away? Are your emotions controlling you? Or are you controlling your emotions? That's a really important thing to assess when it comes to your level of emotional health. Are you battling emotions of depression and anxiety? And if you are, more days than not, have you sought out the help of a professional to deal with that stuff? Because you better believe that stuff is going to affect not only your personal health, but the health of your relationships and what you expect from others. 3, your behaviors. Are you engaging in types of behaviors that are making you better and bringing you to a better place? Or are your behaviors things that are tearing you down, things that are isolating you, things that you are ashamed of, things that are hurting you more than helping you? Your behaviors are a really important part of determining your level of health. And are there any patterns of behaviors or bad habits or things that you are constantly struggling with, things that you feel stuck in that you want to get rid of or be free from in your life? That's a good indicator about where you are in your level of health and also a good way to picture the next step of healing and what that could look like for you. And if you feel like you're caught in a pattern of behavior that you would identify as an addiction, something you just can't seem to break free of, I think it's important to invite somebody into your journey, whether it be a professional counselor or a mentor, to help you get unstuck, to help you get to that next place of freedom. And lastly, your level of health can be determined by your interactions. Just like we talked about today with Lauren, what are your interactions? What do they look like? And are you allowing people into your life that are constantly causing drama and constantly causing conflict and constantly making you feel less than, or maybe they're just not giving anything at all? And what is your response to those relationships? Are you able to set boundaries? If you're dating, are you able to walk away from the relationships where you're not receiving? If you're married, are you able to communicate your needs and your expectations in that relationship? Because it starts with communicating. One thing Lauren said earlier in our conversation is her default mode is to shut down. But shutting down isn't going to accomplish what we want in relationships. The next step has to be for us to learn how to communicate our feelings and our needs in a healthy way and put the responsibility back on that person for them to have the opportunity to respond. And if you're in a marriage, it's a little trickier than that because you can't just walk away. You know, maybe in a dating relationship, after a while, you can say, you know what, this isn't what I want for my life. But when you are in a marriage, God calls you to a much higher level of commitment. And sometimes you can feel like you're giving and giving and giving in a marriage and not getting anything back. But for those of you out there who are feeling that, I want to challenge you and encourage you, because when you get healthy, your relationship will also begin to get healthy. When you start setting boundaries, when you start having the confidence to say what you need and to communicate your expectations and your desires, when you start getting healthy enough to set boundaries and limits in your relationships will also get healthy. And so I think that's a great place to start. You know, a lot of times we look at our partner and think, well, they need to get things together first. But sometimes that's not in our control. Actually, all the time, that's not in our control. What is in our control is what we do with ourselves and how we manage our expectations and how we communicate what we need and let out what's inside of us rather than keeping it in and letting bitterness and resentment build up. And I really do believe that professional counseling is such an important part of this process. So for those of you out there who've listened to this conversation and who want to learn more, I think it's really important to find yourself a professional counselor in your local area that can really help you on the process of healing and in your journey of getting healthy and expecting more for your relationships. Thanks so much for joining me today, guys. It was so great to have these conversations and to get a chance to chat with you. If you're hoping to take the information in this podcast a little bit deeper, I invite you to check out either one of my books, True Love Dates or Choosing Marriage, or enroll in one of my many online courses that'll help you become your healthiest self and engage in healthy relationships as well. I'd also love to connect with you on the blog. TrueLoveDates.com is your place for all kinds of articles and resources about all things love, sex, dating, and marriage. And connect with me on Facebook, connect with me on Instagram or Twitter. And if you like this podcast, please subscribe and leave us your rating and your review. It really helps us to get the word out about healthy relationships, because I really believe that together, one person at a time, one relationship at a time, we can see God's best for our love life and for our individual health. Thanks for joining me, guys. I can't wait to chat with you again on next week's podcast. Take care.